Welcome to the Bumblecast. I'm your host, Ian Flynn, the Bumble King, and joining me as always is my Bumble co-host, Kyle JCRB Krause.
We are back. We had a good time last week with the live stream goodness. Hope you guys had fun with doing a live Q&A stream. Those are a good time. I think we've got them pretty well nailed down now. So yeah. they're good. Yeah, they're a lot of fun. So thanks everybody for coming out for that. And yeah, we are now going to get back to our regularly scheduled 2 episodes a week. So here we go.
Wait.
Oh, right. Okay.
We have a very special, important announcement type of thing.
Okay.
A PSA, if you will.
Yes.
Just because this has kind of been dominating my Twitter for the past few days, just wanted to address something here. Now, I'm not going to name any names because, one, I don't want to single anybody out. 2, I don't want people to gang up on anyone. Because I tell you folks to not do that anyway, and some of you do, and you make it all look bad, so don't do that. And 3, these are just, I only know of a few, but I know there are others out there who do this, and it would be unfair to shake the finger at a few when I know this is a larger problem. But if you are going to use this show as a reference, please, please, please listen to the show. Don't listen for what you want to hear. Listen to what we actually say. Now, whether you are writing down a transcript to share with somebody else, if you're using this as a citation for your news site or your vlog or whatever, that's fine. But please double check what you are recording, because this has been a problem since we even began the show, but it seems to be especially prominent lately.
Yes.
That folks are misrepresenting what's being said. And sometimes that's my fault. I will own that. Sometimes I could be clearer. Sometimes I get a little tangents and ramble, and you're kind of trying to find what is the point that you're trying to get to. And, you know, that's me. But all I can control, all we can control on the show, is the information we put out there. And I do try to make it as clear and as transparent as I can. We can't police the internet. I'm not going to go around telling folks to, you know, hunt down everyone who says the wrong thing, because that's mob mentality. That's no good.
Good luck catching them all too. Yeah. Yeah. It's like a hydra, you know, cut one head off and 50,000 more spring up.
I'm just asking that if you're listening to the show for information that you're going to continue to spread around, please double check yourself, because if you misrepresent what we're saying, it makes us look bad and it makes you look bad, and that's no good for anybody.
Yeah.
And I know it's exciting to have this kind of source. Like, man, when I was growing up, we didn't have anything like this.
Mm-mm.
In my day, we barely had letters pages. So, and especially with the way that the internet presents material these days, it's a frantic chase to be number one, the first person to get the scoop, the first person to put out the information, to get the clicks, to get the attention. And I get that. But if you rush it out there and you devalue your own platform by being proven wrong, you're hurting yourself in the long run. So please, 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 please just double check and give it a second listen. You know, put your biases aside and make sure that you're hearing what we're saying and not what you want to hear. And it doesn't just go for those folks. If you are out there and you've come to the show because, ooh, you heard the frouhaha, Ian said this person was wrong, let's see what the show is all about, thank you for double checking. But you know, this is kind of a universal thing. Check your sources. If some site somewhere says Ian Flynn confirms that blah, 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 take that with a grain of salt and come back and check us. We've got the Q&A listed for you to read. You can find the episodes really easy. Just come back and double check and make sure that, yeah, did I actually say that? Or is it being misinterpreted? Or is it just a straight up bad faith take? Because that happens too, unfortunately.
Yeah, more often than we care to address.
So you know, again, I can't police the internet. That's a fool's errand. All I can do is police myself, but I am going to ask pretty please on bended knee that y'all police yourselves so that we are all informed and we're all happy and we all exist together in this great big group hug kumbaya nonsense thing.
I guess. Yeah, that's right. Ian is the number one source of all Sonic news. So get it all here. Listen to this show and you'll hear it. Guaranteed. Or your money will not be coming back. It's ours now. Anyway.
Hoard it like a dragon.
That's all right. Are we ready to jump in?
Yeah, thank you for humoring me. So let's get to this to today's priority Q&A.
Yes. You are the number one source for things you've said.
God, I would hope so.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Anyway, let's jump into this first one here from Dove. Were there any plans for other Metal Style variants or characters like Metal Tails or Metal Knuckles? If Dr. Starline were to make his own metal, who would he base it on?
I think I'm missing a little bit of context for this. Like, when? Because I love the metal variations.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to see more versions of them. I know we had them in pre-reboot. I would have liked to see more in post-reboot. I am all for seeing them in IDW. I just like metal copies.
I'm receiving word that they meant coming to current IDW.
Okay, well, that I can't say specifically, one, because I'm not lead writer anymore, but I would definitely like to see that. As for Starline, that's kind of a linchpin to his decisions in the upcoming Imposter Syndrome miniseries, so I'm not going to say anything, because that's just a trifle bit spoilery.
Here's a question from PC the Unicorn. So, Ian, what's the deal with Dr. Lalinde and Dr. Light? They seem to have a thing for each other, but seemingly never acted on it. Is it just a case of two people who have feeling for each other with both aware of how the others feel, yet they decide to focus more on their work rather than pursuing a relationship with each other?
That's pretty much it, yeah. My thinking was that they were in love, but they at some point realized they loved their work more than anything else. That's what their primary focus would be on, and so they decided to do that, to follow their passions rather than be inadequate partners.
Follow their passions instead of their passions.
Yeah. So there's always that lingering what if between them. Mm-hmm. What if they had worked a little harder and made it work? Could it have been something? But at the same time, they're very happy with where their lives are now. So there's always that question lingering between them, which is a little bittersweet. And you know, I think we were able to touch on that rather subtly throughout the series, and
mm-hmm.
I would have liked to have maybe spelled it out at a later date, but I think what we put in the book was enough.
Yeah,
I mean, you got it without me having to answer it, really. So there you go.
It gives me a chuckle. Because Dr. Lalinde is actually kind of inspired by a real person.
Mm-hmm.
And
by two.
By two?
By two.
Ah, okay. I don't know the other one. I know one, not the other one. It's kind of funny that she, you know, gave her a thing for the old Santa Claus looking guy. I mean, Dr. Light's cool. Heck, I'd date that guy. But he may not be interested. That's fine. He can just make his robots instead. Here's a question from Sonic, Sonic, Sonic. A YouTuber I watch seems to be under the impression that the characters can't survive impacts that would kill real-life creatures without rings, and they constantly says they must have had rings whenever the characters take a hit, despite rings never being seen or mentioned in the stories. And their justification is, well, it's obvious the rings are invisible unless we need to see them. Otherwise, the whole franchise would fall apart in the logic department. I don't buy that. So to prove them wrong, I want you to tell me, in your stories, are there any invisible rings protecting the characters and healing them when they take a hit, despite them never been seen or mentioned by the characters, or are the rings just not there, like I suspect? Also, how can they survive these things without rings? Is it just cartoon logic, or is it something else?
I don't want to be too vindictive with this. But for the sake of clarity, no, there aren't invisible rings popping out of people and going unseen.
Well, hey, hold on a second. You don't discredit anybody's headcanon.
I mean, if that's how you want to logic it, sure.
To yourself, yes. Just don't expect everyone else to follow along with that.
Yeah, it's not the big deal one way or the other.
No.
I have seen some discussion around about how there's a distinct lack of rings in a Sonic book. And I think part of that is rings themselves have become kind of an afterthought in the franchise. Like, 'cause they're used as a currency in some areas, but that doesn't really make sense in the greater world. And they don't have the mysticism that the old Western continuity gave them.
Right.
They're just kind of they're like coins in Mario, only perhaps even less.
They are a gameplay mechanic.
Yeah.
All they really are. And that's kind of all they ever have been outside of a few instances in, Western comics and the American TV shows, American cartoons. But outside of that, they've just always been a gameplay element more than anything else. The movie, but that's just the warp rings.
Right.
That's kind of different.
It comes to a question of, you know, how much of the game mechanics do you want to rationalize within the story world?
Right.
And, you know, the other thing is, if the characters, you know, do drop rings when they're hit in the story, how many rings is the artist having to draw every action sequence? Do we have to continue to stage the characters grabbing rings back? And that also kind of neuters any stakes in the fight, because if somebody's holding a ring, you know they're not going to suffer permanent damage. You can go a long time on one ring. Mm-hmm. Ask me how I know. So, yeah, we just haven't included them because they are more of a gameplay mechanic and less of a story thing, and it's more cumbersome to try to use them than incorporate them. At least that's my thinking on it. Whether you agree or not, it's up to you.
Yeah. I mean, now, the logic of the franchise is very tenuous anyway. So if you're if just the non-existence of rings is what makes the whole thing fall apart for you, well, then I don't know what you should probably check out the rest of everything that's falling apart in the logic department every single time a new game comes out. Anyway,
as for, you know, how they're enduring all the physical violence, it's cartoon logic.
Right.
This is a cartoon series. You know, we take it seriously within the context of its own world, but outside of that, these are talking animal people that have zero grounding in anything realistic, biologically speaking. It's just enjoy the pretty colors and kind of roll with it, guys.
They got noodle arms, man. Noodle arms and noodle legs. Unless they're female, then things get dicey. But, you know. Yeah. It's weird. It's a weird thing. You just kind of have to not worry about it sometimes. It's just a comic. You should really just relax. And here's a question from Alphamon or Yukon. I know it was destroyed during the Metal Virus arc, but is there any chance we could see Tails piloting a rebuilt version of the Cyclone in the future?
Oh, sure. I'm not going to say, you know, look out for issue number whatever, but, I mean, the guy can build just about anything. I'm sure he can refurbish the Cyclone.
And here's a question from Noni. All right, time for stupid obscure trivia to make it into a question. In Sonic the Fighters, in the background of Dynamite Plant, there's a sign for an under-construction building project done by Bean Real Estate. So my question is, in your opinion, is Bean the mascot of the company, or does he own it, or both? What on earth would working there even be like, for that matter?
Well, you see, you can't perform demolitions unless there's something already built. So if he's going to flip the real estate, and I mean really flip that house, he's got to build it first.
Right.
And if nobody owns it, then there's no value to it. You know, you have to sell it. I mean, I just imagine him in this nice little, you know, HOA coat and tie, showing off this lovely 3-bed, 2-bath, has a finished basement in a lovely neighborhood, just 10 minutes from local school. You'll take it? Lovely. And boom.
You'll take it right in the explosion. Kaboom. I like it. I like it. But that kind of makes me think, though. It's interesting. It's actually kind of pertinent because some of the most crazy people are involved in real estate. So it makes sense. Some of the most weird people. Anyway, here's a question from Off. Spoiler alert for IDW Sonic. With Belle's hand being shown to be metallic under her burnt away glove, is it safe to assume she has an entire metal Terminator skeleton under all that wood? If she's a T-Series, does the T stand for Tinker? Was she sent back in time to save John Connor or to kill him?
I feel like we lost the thread about 20 words in.
Well, is that what that? Oh, that's what T stands for, huh? Thread? Interesting.
But I actually had the forethought to ask Evan about this rather than just go, it's an Evan thing. Ask her. So, yes, I asked her, and Belle does indeed have a mechanical endoskeleton under all that woody exterior. As for being T whatever, I know. Come now. No.
T Belle 1000. Yep. Careful. I'd be careful. Watch out. She might turn to goo anytime. Turn into a wooden goo, which I think is just called sap.
She varnished before your very eyes.
Wow! Amazing. Tastes like maple. All right. Here's a question from Ava Arctic. I'm not sure if this would fall under the frequent answer of wait for Lost Hedgehog Tales, since they were fairly minor characters, but were plans to redeem Sigma Alpha 2? Were there plans to redeem Sigma Alpha 2 before the reboot? Though their design is a bit different than other characters, I couldn't help but find it really cool. Also, were there plans to bring them into the reboot era, or is it safe to say they're bundled with the other nameless soldier grunts?
I think it's pretty safe to say no, there was nothing planned for them. They were lobotomized for a reason. They were just a, here, let's dig deep and use this obscure bit of Sonic trivia to create a threat, and boom, done. You know, there's a little bit of tragedy in the origin, which is more character than they had when they were introduced, and that's enough. But because they are not, you know, Sega original characters post reboot, they were, you know, off limits.
Alrighty, and now we have a question here from Saturn Flicky. Ian, you've said you'd like including obscure Sonic stuff in the comics. Wow, what a coincidence. We just talked about that. Are any of the following on your radar? E-113 and E-117 from LEGO Dimensions, the Mole Miners from Green Grove Zone in Sonic 3D for the Saturn and PC, the Bird Badniks from 8-Bit Sonic 2's box art that aren't in the game, and anything?
Man, that is deep in the mines.
Super deep.
You're threatening to awaken the Balrog. You've dug too deep. And I love it. No, actually. You actually beat me on the Obscura on that one. Some of them I'm like, oh, yeah, that. And someone's like, wait, what? I need to look into this. The E-100s might be dicey because if they only showed up in LEGO Dimensions, there might be a rights issue there. Like, they may count as Lego Sonic and not Sonic Sonic. I don't know that for sure. Don't quote me on that. But from my experience, that sounds like the kind of nuancey nonsense they might be tied up in. So I don't know.
And also, Sonic Lego Sonic is different from Minecraft Sonic, even though they, you know, kind of look pretty much the same. Anyway.
So I don't know, but some of it is worth looking into. Like, maybe you know, if we do another classic story, have them mole miner show up as a background element. That'd be kind of a fun, you know, nod to the three people who will get it. I am now one of those three. Thank you. and others, I don't know, but those are all neat. And I am going to look into them at a later date so that I can expand my Sonic nerdage. So thank you for putting that on my radar.
Excellent. All right, here's a question from X. Seeing as you guys seem to be TMNT fans, say you guys were given the reins to make a Turtles Forever 2 featuring all four cartoon incarnations, but at some point in the plot, the Turtles are split up into different groups, one having a Leo, Raph, Donnie, and Mikey. What groups do you choose and why?
Oh, boy.
So my knowledge of 2013 is almost non-existent, and my knowledge of Rise is the one episode we watched. So,
man,
that's a tough one, though. Even with very little what I know. So.
Yeah, I mean, you could almost put that into a randomizer, and whatever four it spits out would be an interesting dynamic.
Yeah.
Cherry picking, though, Leo from 2013, I feel like was the best incarnation of Leo.
Yeah, I agree.
2012, 2013.
Yeah.
The CG one.
The 3D animated one, yeah.
That was just... I like that they made him a shameless nerd.
They actually gave him a little bit of character for once.
Yeah. I really like all the turtles in that one.
Oh, yeah.
The question was, pick from each, so...
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Do that one. The arrogant nonsense of Rise's Donatello is kind of fun in an instigative sort of way. So we'll grab that one.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to go with 80s Michelangelo because he was my boy. That was what got me into Turtles.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and he's the party dude. You got to have him party. Super honorable mention to CG Mikey though. Really dug his.
Yep.
Interpretation. And Raphael, we're gonna go with the CG movie.
You're breaking the rules. Not doing the 2003 care. Version.
I don't care because it's the one that squandered Patrick Stewart and had the useless monster subplot.
Yeah.
But it really was stronger when it focused on the turtles because the turtle story is actually really good.
Because, you know, turtles, that's literally the name of the film. Should have been what it was about.
And just that Leo Raph fight.
Yeah.
God. Everything from the build up to the execution was just and that's like the coolest Raphael has ever been for me. So
it's a great movie.
That's my team.
Man. Gosh. I'm trying to think of who I'd have from 2012. Gotta go with Donnie. You know? There's just something about Donnie. There's always something about Donnie. He's my favorite. He's always my favorite turtle. So, I gotta go with the Rob Paulsen though. You know, gotta go with that.
Mm-hmm.
I've still not seen the 2003 show, and I should. I really should watch it. I did watch the Turtles Forever, obviously the original one. So I'm not completely blind on who they are, but. Geez, I don't know. I might have to do the movie too. CG movie. Let's go with Raph from the 80s cartoon because he's going to be voiced by Donnie. He's going to be the same guy.
But he's cool and rude, so that covers two bases right there.
Indeed. Yes. God, what was Leo like in Rise?
He was a smart aleck. He was the prankster and the Joker.
That's weird. What was Mikey like? Is he even crazier?
Mikey was the cinnamon roll. He was artist. He was the sweetheart.
Okay.
Donnie was the sarcastic, condescending brainiac. In an endearing way.
Which is funny because he's literally almost the exact opposite character in the 2012 show.
Yeah. And then in, And Raph was the hyper aggressive but deeply compassionate big brother to them all.
Yeah, but he was, yeah, they called him the leader on that one, which this was weird. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think they were listening to the MC Hammer Turtles song where I think that's where they got the plot from. And that must be it.
I didn't see the entire series, but I did see kind of the high points throughout the story. And it's funny because it's basically the origin story for the team playing really fast and loose. And like the last words of the final episode is Leo gets promoted to leader.
So they
get their signature weapons in pretty much the final fight. So it's like, okay, everything was building up to the status quo that folks know.
Yeah.
Sorta.
Okay. We'll do Mikey from Rise. Okay. And then we will throw a curveball and a probably one that people will not like. And I will say Venus de Milo from the Next Mutation show.
All right.
Here we go. There's four. I will break the rules even harder. And I will just throw her. I'll just throw her in there. Why not? Let's see what happens. Let's mix it up. Or Mona Lisa. Yeah, and that's true. That's a good point. Yeah. I forgot about Mona. Yes. Oh, well. Meanwhile, Eastman and Laird are spinning in their not graves because they're not dead. All right. We got one last question before we take a quick break, and it's from our good buddy, Scruffy Matt. How would you imagine a double date between Tangle and Whisper and Sally and Nicole would go? Where would they go? What kind of wacky hijinks would ensue?
Well, see, Sally would want to keep it casual, but she can't help herself. She's going to plan things out.
Mm-hmm.
And Nicole, who is data management incarnate, really wants this to go well. And with two others involved, that makes it even more complicated. So she's super planning it as well. And Whisper, who realizes that, you've got number of priority targets all in one place, is going to be a little concerned. So she's going to try to sneak ahead and plot things out and make sure that all their covers are cornered. And they end up kind of in this feedback loop where they're each trying to one up each other unintentionally. And it gets really hectic and it gets really complicated until Tangle just says, "Stop it. We're supposed to be having a good time. Relax. Let's go get gelato." And they get gelato.
Perfect. I was going to say that, maybe Tangle is just going to bust in and ruin everything just unintentionally. No. Just be like, it's like everyone's trying to plan everything. They're trying to be all, make sure it's all perfect. And here's chaos. here's the literal incarnation of chaos, except not chaos, but chaos. You know what I mean?
You would think that, but since you have three characters who are so orderly in their direction, they need to loosen up. And that is where Tangle comes in, not as the problem, but as the solution.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. I like that flip on the script. Normally you'd expect her to be the crazy one. And I mean, of course she is, but she's the one who actually helps the problem, fixes the problems. Yes. I like it. I am satisfied with this. When are we going to see it in the comic again? What issue? Tell me.
We're going to be taking a quick break, and when we come back, there'll be more Q&A here on the Mumblecast.
I'm receiving word it will be in issue 69. All right, we are back. Ian still didn't tell me what issue. Dang. We'll figure it out. We'll find out someday. Here's a question from Jib. How would you imagine an interaction or situation between Omega and Metal?
Instant hostility. lots of collateral damage and some kind of deus ex machina to make them stop fighting so that one survives. Or rather, they both survive because I can't kill them off. They're second characters.
I'm going to say that there is a beautiful double page spread in that fight.
Mm.
And it's gonna be awesome. You got to tell me what issue that's in.
Oh, man, dude. Write into IDW and tell them you want a 4-issue miniseries of nothing but Omega and Metal Sonic fighting. Because I want to write it.
Well, I mean, it would be like one page. They fight. And they fight!
You've got to like disassemble the book, and it's all one gigantic running poster.
Yes. 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 I have received an idea for a title for this. Call it Metal Madness. Nice. I like that one. Thank you. Thank you, Chad. Here's a question from Speedweed. I believe we all know why Trio / the Evil Robot and the Star Droids didn't make it into Worlds Collide, but how would it have gone down if they did? Knowing the sheer insanity of a superpowered sun robot and a superpowered robot jacked up on evil energy, I can only imagine how much of a clusterfunk things would get. But man, I've always felt a little sad they weren't included in the overall crossover.
Yeah, they wouldn't fit, like you said.
Yeah.
There was already a lot in Worlds Collide. And so adding them in would have been, I feel like, a bit too much. I can't even speculate where would they even go? You know, act one is the heroes meeting. Act two is saving the friends. And act three is just the big smorgasbord of all the cool things happening at once.
Yeah.
Like maybe they could be in the mix there, but then they would be part of the crowd that's getting torn through, and that really doesn't do them any service. So, yeah. No, they were left out for a reason.
You'd just have to cram them into Worlds Unite instead, oh, which was even more of a cluster funk.
Yeah. That lasagna spilleth over.
I like lasagna. So, it's good. Yes, make Worlds Unite even more insanely cluttered. just go ham on it. Ham. I'm hungry or something. I don't know. Maybe. I'm always hungry, though, to be fair. Here's a question from Andrew D. What are some crossovers with Sonic that probably would not work? Now imagine you're told to write those crossovers. How would you handle them?
I mean, anything that's more realistic based, or like your mature rated games, your Fatal Frames, your Resident Evil.
Are you telling me you cannot do a crossover with Sonic and Metal Gear Solid? You would write the heck out of that.
See, my knee jerk reaction is no, but you tempt me.
You know it would work because Metal Gear Solid is a cartoon as it is anyway. Like, it's just whatever, man. Let's not beat around the bush here, you know? It's just whatever.
Having Shadow and Solid Snake as a team, with Shadow being the straight man of the pair, is really funny. Have Liquid show up wearing a Bad Shadow cosplay and say that he's spliced his genes with the ultimate life form to make up for his recessive genes. Brothers! Now I have obtained the ultimate power. Is he serious? Usually. Okay, so maybe that one would work, but like in a pure lampoon sort of way.
I was gonna say pretty much like anything Smash Brothers, any characters in Smash Brothers, you probably cross over and it would be fine. Yeah. Probably make it work.
But you know, your Call of Duties and Medal of Honors type of thing, I don't know. But the thing is, Sonic is pretty dang versatile. Anything even remotely fantasy based, you could probably shoehorn him in there without too much trouble.
Yeah.
Like even like League of Legends or Dota or something.
Oh, definitely.
They can be fucking units.
Those are like super cartoony. So it would absolutely work perfect. Sonic would work perfectly in those. Let's see.
Just stuff that's like really thematically different. Stuff that is grim or gory or really like horror oriented. I don't think you could really mesh it without it either being a goof on the one or being way out of tone for Sonic. We kind of touched on this talking about Sonic and the Metroid series.
Sure.
Because they're both kind of sci-fi, bright, colorful adventures, but there is a somberness and a horror element to Metroid that I just don't think really fits the upbeat and hopeful and bright and cheery Sonic.
Yeah.
One side would have to give a little bit.
Yeah. I'm seeing one idea here is Castlevania. It's like, well, Castlevania really isn't a horror. Honestly, it's not very scary. It's not a horror franchise. It's an action franchise. And I feel like Sonic could probably fit in there. There's weird.
I don't know.
Cartoony animal stuff in Castlevania anyway. And that voice acting.
What is a hedgehog? A miserable pile of secrets. I'll make you eat those words.
Yes.
But I don't know. There's no way you can write Sonic spin dashing Legion and it not get nasty.
Yeah, so. But he could spin dash Dracula's head, which is perfect. That's good because apparently the Belmonts do not have good aim when it comes to the head, but Sonic can just home in on it.
Sonic just hangs on to the end of oh darn it, what is the freaking whip called? Vampire Killer.
Yeah, yep.
How did I forget the name of that?
It's the name of the song, dude.
It's like the most on brand thing. Oh god.
Well, the metal one is the Morningstar, so I think that's what it's called. Something like that. I don't know, man. It's all biblical. I'm saying it's like a storybook style. Castlevania would be like a good storybook style game. Maybe. Honestly, yeah. Yeah, I could see that.
Maybe.
I like it. I like it. I like that idea. And the music. Oh, man.
Castlevania. Jin Sui doing Castlevania would be
Castlevania
amazing.
Castlevania styled Sonic tunes or Sonic style Castlevania tunes.
You're going to win either way.
Why not both? But why not both?
A bloodless Castlevania is still weird to me.
Yeah, well, you know, just don't have the Sonic characters bleed. Perfect.
Unless they went the route with Shadow the Hedgehog and it's all like monster blood green.
This isn't the 90s anymore. You don't have to Mortal Kombat it.
Yeah, Mortal Kombat. Now there's a series that as cartoony as it is, I ain't gonna work.
I think it could work. Yeah. Yeah. Gears of War and Sonic. That's a favorite of a certain Mighty Ray, actually. She likes that one. I think it actually kind of could work. She makes it work. I'm just spitting ideas from the chat now. Because Sonic of Five Nights at Freddy's. maybe not. I
mean, he fights robots.
True.
And they're robots when you get down to it.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, and he wouldn't be afraid of them. You'd just go up to him and spin dash him. Yeah, so we kind of take all the horror out of the franchise. I don't know, man. There really isn't anything I don't think you could massage to work. I think you could probably do it.
There's to a degree, but I feel like there are a series of franchises that, like I said before, you would have to have one side give a little bit. And then it's
always
it's not the authentic version of one or the other. It's you've sanded down the square peg so it will fit into the round hole.
What you mean, like Archie and meets the Punisher?
No, okay, that was a fantastic.
It is actually a really good.
That is way better than it has any right
to
be.
It actually really truly does. Yeah, I've read it and it's actually way better than I was expecting. Like, holy crap.
Like, it's a solid story, straight up.
Mm-hmm. I haven't read Archie versus the Predator. It's real. It exists. But I kind of wonder how well that one does. They're not too bad. Sonic versus the Predator. Interesting. Yeah. I don't know. Again, that would be kind of a Five Nights at Freddy's deal, to be fair. All right. If we had enough fun with this question, are we ready to move on?
We are.
Okay. Here's this question from Scurvy Pirate Dog. You take the Chaos Emeralds, the Soul Emeralds, Master Emerald, Jeweled Scepter, Phantom Ruby, and the Wisps. You crush them all into a powder, mix them with water, and add a drop of Chaos and a drop of Black Doom's blood, and then you drink it. What happens?
You explode.
Oh, I was just going to assume you just got bad indigestion. Which is kind of the same thing.
I imagine like it's a Monty Python sketch, like this whole long sequence of preparing the drink and then slurp, gulp.
Yep. Also, I forgot the warp topaz in there. Yeah. Then you just turned inside out. Here's one from Madeline Blue Star 7. I have a question about the location of Tails' workshop that first appeared in issue 16. Does this location that the workshop is in have a name? Is it a zone, a town, etc.?
Not presently. Just because we haven't really needed to establish it beyond it's a Tails workshop. If the location becomes more important in terms of the overall geography, we'll put a finer point on that at the time.
All right. And here's this one from Idaria. Okay, now I need to know. Knuckles isn't strong enough to lift a car, but Big the Cat can, meaning he's even stronger than Knuckles. So if Knuckles is able to punch the super out of a supersonic, what can Big do? Is Big the most powerful character in this franchise?
I'm still headcanoning that was Master Emerald chicanery when Knuckles busted Sonic. Yeah, it's retconning things, but dang it, I want things to fit and make sense.
Yeah, but Big is the most powerful character in the franchise.
Oh, sure. He could literally punch the super out of Sonic.
I mean, he could punch the hyper out of Sonic.
Yeah.
Easily. Like, he wouldn't even
trying.
Yeah, he wouldn't even actually have to swing this fist. He could just hold it out.
Yeah, and Sonic would kind of like just gravitate into it.
Exactly. Just perfect. Like, Big just wouldn't even... Big wouldn't even realize he was doing it. That's kind of how it would just come out. Sonic would just run into his fist. Just normal. It's just like, and Big would just be like, oh.
Yeah. He is the one punch man of the Sonicdom.
Except he's not even trying to punch.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
One cast man.
Yes. One cast. But you will wrestle with the fish for 45 minutes. Until you realize the controls, until you figure out what the controls actually are. Then you will do it in about 10 seconds. Not that I'm speaking from experience or anything.
No, of course not.
No. They definitely make it very clear how to fish Sonic Adventure. It is crystal. Absolutely perfect. Being sarcastic. In case anybody was just confused on that. Here's a question from Quark196. I know your plans for Shadow are probably extremely limited, sadly, but I do have to ask, do you have any plans to have Whisper and Shadow interact in any actual capacity in the future? She seems to harbor some hard feelings due to Shadow androids killing her squad mates.
I don't think I have anything concrete, and again, Evan is lead writer, so I'm kind of like letting her have first crack at... No, let me rephrase that. I'm not letting her do anything because I don't have that authority. She has first crack at everything.
Mm-hmm. Is it the same kind of crack that happens when Big punches the super out of Sonic?
That's more of a kaboom. An earth-shattering kaboom.
Yeah, something like that. All right, here's a question from John B. I was wondering about Whisper's personality before the loss of her friends in the Diamond Cutters. Was she always reserved and introverted, but to a lesser extent, or was she more outgoing and losing her friends changed her? What little we see seems to suggest she was not as on edge, at least. I figured this was a safe question considering the IDW book is focusing on new adventures and not so much on what came before.
Yeah, before everything fell apart, she was a much more open, bubbly, even jokey kind of person. You know, observant still, sure, but she was way more open and talkative.
Ironic for her name being Whisper, then. And finally, our last question from Digama. So the official solicit for issue 42 mentions Sonic, Tails, and the Chaotix making it home in time for spaghetti. Now I ask you, what the actual hell was the spaghetti part about? It confounded me when the solicit dropped, and the fact that there's nothing about it in the issue just leaves me even more confused. Seriously, what the f...
It rhymed with Zeddy. It was a silly thing.
Yeah, I was gonna say, it's also, like, make it home in time for spaghetti is a very, like, very common phrase used. It's not actually referring to making it home in time for actual real spaghetti. It's just a thing.
And you could say, you know, make it in home time for dinner, but that doesn't rhyme with Zeddy, so spaghetti.
Spaghetti. Yeah, see, I'm still hungry.
Well, in that case, we should wrap up the show so you can go get something to eat.
Maybe. Yeah, I'm going to have some baked Zeddy.
I think it's pronounced Zeti, but anyway.
No, it's with when it involves baked Zeddy, it is baked Zeddy. With some confetti. Knees weak, arms are heavy. Mom spaghetti.
Well, before Kyle goes completely 8 Mile on us, let's give a big thank you to all the people who make this show possible over patreon.com/bumblecast and ko-fi.com/bumblecast, and as YouTube members. Big thank you to Daniel H, Alex B, James K, John R, Jennifer, John B, Jennifer R, Robotnik Holmes, Samuel P, Sam Cybercat, Torchbound, Mike B, Coupling Crew 128, Do As This Den, Diane W, Michael, Andrew D, Scruffy Matt, Chris A, Dave M, Salute Your Cat, Off, Sony, John M, yeah, okay, man, I've read that backwards and confused myself. Sorry, guys. Noni, Don B, Jay Frost, Yami M, Lee HK, Lisa M, Chevelle, Jib, Hero of Light 13, Piggy Bank, Ryan D, Blue Title Gamer, Speedweed, Tick Tick, Final Neil, Jonathan D, Ian, Rachel W, Ben Wolf's Bane, Godzilla, Chaos Universe, Sonic Legacy, Dabbler the Dalek, Daniel B, Invade Turbo, Tunis, PC the Unicorn, Fiona M, Dove, Red the Supernamic, Pendulce, Carlos, Joe S, Preston M, Fire Red XY, Chad, Jennifer H, Alphamon or Yukin, Chico D, Renard Pixel, Les, Chase L, Spark Z, Owen BD, John the Real Wall, Luigi, Sapphire Scarletta, Turbo, Michi, Ava Wolf, Cricker, Kimiko, Red Wolf, Louis J, Callum Q, Radry, Professor Rye, Cameron H, Alex the Border Collie, Techno Cinema, Saturn Flicky, Scurvet Pirate Hog, Madeline Blue Star 7, Idira, and Cork 196.
All right. Wow. That list has grown quite a bit.
Honestly, left me a little dizzy.
Yeah. I can imagine. Anyway, I got to run. I'm hungry. So let's get out of here, Ian.
Yep. We're going to bounce. We'll see you Wednesday for the standard Q&A. Good to yourselves. Be good to each other. And we'll see you next time.
Boingy, boingy, boingy. That's us bouncing out of here.
Animaniac style, yes.
Exactly.
After last week's recording,
yeah.
Here in the show notes, Kyle has listed, here's the break, Ian, keep scrolling, there's more questions, in like size 48 font bold.
Hey, it's only size 20. But it is bold.
And it is necessary, so...
I'm just making sure, you know, after last week, I was like, I guess it was 2 weeks ago. I was like, okay, I'll just put this in here just to be sure. Just to be sure.
It's appreciated, because I was okay this time.
Yeah.
I was like, I remember from last time, but there will be another recording session where I'm kind of like on autopilot, and it's like, okay, I read the list.
Yeah.
Wait.
Yeah.
Oh, there's more list. Right.
I did also change the break formatting too, so it should be less, you scroll down, you hit the break, and then all of a sudden there's just a bunch of empty space after it. It shouldn't be that problem anymore.
You've been listening to The Bumblecast, a co-production of Bumble King Comics and the KNGI Network. Original theme music composed by Ken Coda Snyder. Remixed intro by T-Lopes. Find out more information along with podcast feeder links, MP3 downloads, and more at bumbleking.com and kngi.org.
I'm still disappointed because Lex Luthor's been on Supergirl for like 2.5 seasons now, and he still hasn't stolen even a single cake. He's much less 40. It's like, I thought, well, that's what he did. I thought that was his thing, but apparently not.
It's a different interpretation of the character, so.
I guess, but I don't know. There's one episode left. It's next week's final episode, and if he don't steal any cakes in that episode, oh boy, I'm going to have to do nothing about it.
Maybe they're saving it for a big series finale.
That is what's next week, is the series finale. So they better do it. If they're going to do it.